Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
Being in a group like this, being around people that are generally thought of as good or people that are trying to do better in their lives, you end up kind of around these questions about generosity. And I mean, not that no one else outside of a church deals with the question of generosity, but churches tend to be kind of this breeding ground for this pressure to be generous, if you know what I mean. Where, like, well, everybody else is giving, so I better be giving, or there's always the ask to help somebody, or there's always the ask to make a difference, or you feel like, oh, I should be doing this, or I should be doing that, or there's that kind of pressure, and there's that social peer pressure going on, and it's like, okay, so what should I really be giving? What do I need to give in order to meet the standard? What do I need to give in order to be a good person? What do I need to give to be a good Christian, to get into heaven, or like what is expected of me? And then when you're looking at it, you start comparing yourself to other people, and you start comparing yourself to people in the Bible, and you start going, okay, so how much is it that I need to give? How much is it that I need to give to the church, or I need to give to God, and how much of what I have do I need to give to others, and how much is enough? Like there's that standard where I get to cross that line and get to say, okay, that's enough, and I get to keep the rest, or I get to use the rest, or I get to have the rest and use that for the things that I want. But how much is that line, and when is it that I've given enough that I can stop? And this ends up being this kind of weird conversation, especially in settings like this, because we feel like there's always this pressure one way or another that I should be giving, or I can't be asked to give, or they're asking too much, or it's just a really kind of awkward conversation. And there's this weird pressure. And it's a very weird pressure because we all have our own needs and issues in our lives already. We have to buy groceries. We need to pay for fuel. We need the vehicle to get to work. We need to pay for the house. We need to fix the house. We need to deal with the dog. We need to deal with the kids. Sometimes we're like, we'd rather have a dog instead of the kids. But like we're trying to sort through all that, right? And it's like, I've got all these pressures, and I've got my own desires, and I've got my own goals, and I've got some my own money that I've got to navigate and figure out, okay, what about retirement, or how do I do investments, or how do I use this well? And then there's this, like, I'm trying to make the sacrifices that I need to in order to get further in life. And oftentimes, for many of us, this ends up being either a complicated, awkward question that almost feels like there's no right answer. It feels like whatever we land on, it's somehow going to be wrong. Either you give too much away and you're left without at home, or you keep too much for home and then you end up feeling guilty because you haven't given enough away. So how are you supposed to navigate that? How are you supposed to figure out what is right and what is wrong and what you should be doing or shouldn't be doing? Well, we've been going through the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to continue that. And as I mentioned earlier in the service, last week we talked about how you don't need to be the light in the world. You don't need to be a flashlight. You need to be the mirror. You need to reflect the light that is God. You need to reflect that outward. And that's where you come in as a mirror. Even if you're broken, which we are, broken mirrors still work. And we need to reflect that goodness outward to the world, to those around us. And we need to focus more. We need to not cover ourselves up. We need to not hide from these questions. We need to open ourselves up. Christ has removed that blind. We don't need to hide. And we need to stare closer at God, look closer at Him to get the clarity we need. Well, we've got this question. I don't want to hide from these questions. I want to look closer at God and look closer at His Word to get clarity on what the answer is. And so we are looking at the book of 2 Corinthians, which is the second letter that Paul wrote to the church in ancient Corinth. Okay? Now, we figure he probably wrote four letters. We only have two of them. We only managed to save and got passed down two of them. And this is the second letter we have from him to the church in Corinth. And we are going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. Now, just another note. When Paul was writing this letter to the Corinthian church, he did not put chapters and verses in there. Okay? The chapters and the verses are there to help us navigate it, so that I don't turn to this letter and be like, look at the 495,000th word, right? It just allows us to navigate it a little bit easier. So chapter 9, the big number 9, and then the little number 6, verse 6. This is where we're starting. If you've got the Bible app on your phone or you've got a Bible with you, you can turn to that and look it up. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6, we're going to read all the way till the end of verse 15. This is what Paul says to the church. He says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." Now, he is not talking about being a seamstress. Right? It's not about sowing, it's about planting seeds. Whoever plants a lot of seeds will harvest a lot of vegetables or fruit or meat, if you've got meat seeds. And so if you plant lots of those, you get lots, okay? "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in your prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you, because of the surpassing grace of God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." There's another verse in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 16, where Jesus says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and they've been gathering money for another church in need, okay? And they've been taking up a collection for this other church. And so decides to take time out of this letter and say, okay, you guys have been collecting money for this other church, and there's some pressure, and there's these questions about what you should be giving or not giving, and how do you navigate that? And he says, listen, what you've decided in your heart between you and God, you need to give that, and you need to give it generously out of thanksgiving, but not out of guilt. Don't do it because you're just pressured, and don't do it because you're prideful. Like, just if that's what God has put on your heart, put it on your heart. Like, live that out. And he says, you know what, like, with this idea of planting and harvesting, like, the one who gives you the seed to plant, like, he's going to give you seeds. He's going to continue to give you seeds to plant. If you're using them well, he's going to give you more seeds to plant. If you're taking them and you're just throwing them in the garbage, he's not going to give you any more to use. But if you're using them, he's going to continue giving you seeds to plant. And so the one who gives you is going to make sure that you have enough to do what it is that he's asking you to do. And he says several times in those last few verses, he says, you know what, when you give things, you bring thanksgiving to God. And Jesus says, let your good works shine before men so that they see those good works and glorify God. And he says, by doing this thing and by showing what it is to live out the heart of Jesus, to live out the heart of Christ, people are going to see that and give God glory. And they're going to thank him. And he seems to be making the statement that everything we give is from God. And when we give it, we point people back to God. This is my point here. When you are generous with what God gives you, you point people to him. When you are generous with what God gives you, you point people back to God. Now, let me make this illustration, okay? Kind of flesh this out. How many of you have kids? Okay? Now, how many of you have ever taken your kids to some other kid's birthday party? Okay? How many of you bought the present for the kid to give to the kid at the party? How many of you made your kid actually spend their own money on the kid? Right? Most of you, if not all of you, and some of you are embarrassed, you don't want to say it, but you went out and you bought the present and you didn't even tell the kid what you bought. It's like, here, John, give that to Lucy for the present. And he's like, what is it? I don't know. Mom picked it up. Right? That's the scenario. Like, even when it comes to Christmas, sometimes it's like, Heidi, what's in that package? And so you're at this birthday party. And especially when you got young kids, you might be lingering around a little bit. You're there, you bought the presents, you give it to your kid, he puts it on the table, then it's little Doug's party, and he opens up the presents, and he's like, oh, this is incredible, thank you, John. And John's like, yeah, man. And you're left standing there going, I'm the one that bought it. I'm the one that bought it. And when you've got a really, really incredible kid, your kid goes, oh, I'm so glad you like it. Mom bought it for you. Now, normally they don't do that, but that's the reality. That's the reality. They didn't come up with the money. They probably didn't even go shopping. Even if they did go shopping, they spent your money for it. And somebody else is blessed. And the reality is that in many situations of our lives, we're in that similar situation, that similar scenario. And we give something to somebody, and they're like, thank you so much. And we go, yeah, man, I'm glad you like it. But the response should really be, I am so glad you like it. My dad bought it for you. This is what Paul is pointing out. He's saying, listen, you've got seeds to plant. You've got those seeds because God has given you those seeds. And you're going to have a harvest, and you're going to bless other people with it. But you need to understand that when you give it, it's got to be like, that's not you. That's not coming from you. That's you reflecting the goodness of God. He has provided everything you need and will continue to provide more and more and more. He provides the seed. He provides the bread. And when you're generous and you understand that it is coming from God, you can give to others and they can say thank you, and you get to respond with, I am so glad this made a difference for you. It's actually from my dad. It's actually from my Father in heaven. It's actually from my God. When you are generous with what God gives you, you point people to Him. Now, I understand that when you start to wrestle with this idea and this concept, it comes with all kinds of kind of weird and negative thoughts. Because you start thinking about it and you start going, okay, so is everything from God? Yes, everything is from God, and so everything is at His whim. Okay, so does that mean I need to give everything else? Does that mean that I don't get to keep anything? Like, and you start to kind of spiral a little bit with the questions and the opposition and the obstacles, and you say, well, yeah, but okay, so everything is God, and I'm supposed to be generous with what God gives me, but like, I can't deny my family, and I can't give everything away because then I will be in need, and if I'm in need, then everyone's just going to have to give of their stuff to cover me, and then I'm a burden, and I can't give there's no way that I can give the same amount that Bob is giving, or Joan is giving, or Lucille is giving. Like, they're giving way more than I even have, and I can't neglect my family, and I don't have that much. I don't have extra. Like, when I look at my finances, everything's all like tight, and I don't know how I'm supposed to give more, and this is just going to lead me into more problems. I'm going to miss out on things, and I only have a limited lifespan, and I don't want to wait until I'm 85 to go on that cruise. I want to do it when I'm still healthy enough that I can walk across the ship without messing my underpants, And I don't want to encourage, I don't want to give to people in a way that just encourages them to be lazy. And I need more. I need God to give me more, not less. I need more to be able to meet these needs. I don't have enough as it is. You see how it goes? And these thoughts come, don't they? And we start to spiral, and we start to question, and we start to dig our heels in, and we end up in this place where, instead of being generous, we end up in this place where it's like, well, no, like, I really just need more. And maybe when I have excess, then I can give. But right now, I just need God to give me more. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Despite all the spiraling, despite all the obstacles, despite all the questions, it boils down to, don't get distracted by that. You need to give what it is that God puts on your heart to give. You don't need to give what you are guilted into. You don't need to give what somebody else is telling you to do. You don't need to give because you feel bad. You need to give what it is that God clearly puts on your heart to give. And maybe you need to take a look at how you've been using your money or spending your money or living your life and consider that maybe He is asking you to give, and you're looking at it and you're going, well, that's gonna leave me in need in my life. Well, maybe the thing that you're in need of, or you think that you're in need of in your life, is actually something you don't really need, and you've been putting way too much weight on that thing, thinking that thing is going to make your life better when it actually isn't. And God is calling you away from that and saying the car, the house, the vacation, the new phone, the new car, or the new whatever, or the new trip, or the whatever it is that you are kind of thinking, well, I need the money to have that thing, to solve this problem, to make my life better. Maybe that's not what is actually going to make your life better. And maybe God isn't robbing you of your need. He's actually pulling you away from the thing that you don't need, but have been obsessed with. And we also need to understand that we are all on this planet for a reason. We exist to reflect the glory of God. And creation works better when we function the way that God made us to function. And He has given us the very breath in our lungs. And you're not actually here so that you can get to the end of your life and say, you know what, I lived a good life. And I did everything I ever wanted to do. You are here to help people see the goodness of God and have life abundantly in Him. So much life that it spreads and becomes contagious and other people come to life. Now, if you don't agree with that, if you're here and you're like, oh, I'm not sure I really care about what God thinks, and I don't really want to point people to God, and I'm not really sure God is what's driving the purpose and meaning of my life, then yeah, generosity is not really going to make sense to you. Okay? There's going to be a limit of it based on what you can get out from it, or you feel good or removes guilt. But if you are here and you have this inclination that maybe you are here to make a difference in the world, and that is by allowing God to do more and more and more, then you have to acknowledge that everything in your life has been given to you by God to spread His life. And when we do that, incredible things happen. When we are generous with what God gives us and we point people to Him, the incredible, miraculous things start to happen. That you start seeing people start glorifying Him. And you have people who come to know Him and are changed by Him. And instead of darkness in their life, they have light in their life. And that darkness no longer has power over them, never doesn't control them or oppress them anymore, and they are free and they are alive. And you might actually bring people to know Jesus and be saved by Him. And you might have people that come and are surrender to Him and get changed. And you'll find the strongholds of the enemy will crumble, and that people won't be bound by their old needs. Your kids will be changed, your marriage will be changed, your community will be changed, and people will start to acknowledge God, and their reality will change. Because they aren't depending on things they don't need. They're depending on God, and God will supply the things they actually need to be alive. And not just walking corpses. So what do we need to do? This is not a message about, okay, guys, I want you to give more money. That's not what this is. This is, I want you to give what it is that God has given. Put in your heart to give, and not just to the church, but outward to everybody in whatever need, whatever place that God is calling you to give, because everything belongs to Him and you are giving it for His glory. This is what we need to do. Number one is we need to change our perspective. When you come up against these questions and you're navigating this push, you need to understand that first and foremost, it needs to be His goals, His money, and His glory. It is not your goals, it is not your money, and it is not your glory. His goals, His money, His glory. And when you grab hold of that, something shifts. The shopping spree changes when mom and dad are paying for it, doesn't it? Hey, mom, can I buy this Lego set for John? Oh, the $90 one? Are you using your money? No. Well, then no. When mom or dad are paying, things look different. And secondly, we need to change our perspective, and then we need to change our reaction. When needs come up, when problems come up, and we remember that God is the one giving to us, and we need to give out of a heart that's cheerful, we remember to be thankful for what God has given us. We take steps of obedience instead of steps of fear. And instead of allowing people to thank us for the goodness, we remember to point them back to Dad. Oh, thank you for helping me out. Dad paid for it. I'm so glad that you guys gave that. It's Dad's money. Change your perspective. It's His. Change your reaction. Gratitude and obedience and redirection to God. And when you do that, you can step away from some of these weird, complicated questions and these spiraling oppositions. And you can just be generous. The worship team's coming back up, and they're going to lead us in two or three more songs here. And I really like the order of service that we normally do it here, because I feel like we need a little bit of time to process what we've talked about and what we've kind of dug into today. And so I don't know exactly what it is that God has been saying to you or how it is how it really applies to what you're going through, but whatever it is that God has been saying to you and that he has really, really pointed out to you, don't run away from it. Use these next few songs to process it, to wrestle with it if you have to, and to hear what it is that God is saying you need to do next. You don't need to have it all figured out, but pay attention to what God is saying to you and take that next step. Because when you're generous with what God gives you, you point people to him.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.